Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Monday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day and weekend of news. Don't worry, we're going to figure it out together, live on the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. We'll take you through the reason that the Seattle Times is choosing to smear Tiffany Smiley so early in the campaign. We'll give you an update on the trooper who was shot in the face while on duty in Walla Walla. Plus, a lot of folks apparently are upset with Netflix because they just realized, I guess, that Jeffrey Dahmer was gay. And despite wanting representation, they're now saying, well, I mean, we don't need Jeffrey Dahmer to be our representation. We're going to get into those stories and so much more this hour of the Jason Rancho, brought to you by the KTTH Freedom Series, October 12th in Renton at the Carco Theater. I just booked a third very special guest. It's all going to be kept secret. The only way you're going to know is if you show up. Tickets are only $12, and they're available over at KTTH.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
2 weekends ago, a 17-year-old kid in Yakima was allegedly involved in a drive-by shooting that ended up killing a young girl. After the shooting, police say he fled. Obviously, when you're fleeing from a drive-by shooting, probably driving at a high rate of speed. And unfortunately, this kid who had just shot at two girls, killing one of them, according to the police, ended up crashing into a car driven by a mother and her daughter. Both were killed instantly. Now, the 17-year-old should not have been out driving at all. He should have been in jail. Because, according to the chief of police over in Yakima, who told me this over the weekend, this kid had been charged previously with alleged second-degree assault. Second-degree assault that should land someone in jail. But we don't jail teenagers in Washington State. It takes a lot to actually jail teens in Washington State. Some people think this is just a Seattle issue. Hey, this is Yakima. This is not Seattle. The fact of the matter is there are some kids who are just bad and they need to be in jail to protect us from them. Matt Murray is the chief of police. He was actually just speaking at a Senate committee hearing. It was a working session. It was happening in Richland. And he gave an update to lawmakers on the impacts that their laws are having on public safety.
The 17-year-old that I just talked about on Saturday night should have been in jail for a second-degree assault. Our juvenile judge is livid because now three people are dead. It would have been better if he'd have been in jail. I realize that we don't want to jail everyone, but some people may need to go to jail so we can intervene. There is no intervention that we can provide when we can't even talk to them. And I know some people may not want to hear that, but that's the reality of the situation that we're facing in Eastern Washington.
They don't want to hear it because they know they are responsible for what's going on. And he's speaking directly to Democrats. Republicans are not responsible for the anti-police laws that have been passed here. That was done by Democrats. Democrats did this. And at the end there, you hear him saying, you know, we can't even talk to them. He's referring to a law that was put in place this year, was passed in the last legislative session. It's in place right now. And we've talked about it before. Police cannot talk with juveniles suspected of crimes unless that juvenile has spoken with an attorney. It does not matter if that kid says, yes, I want to speak. It does not matter if the kid's parent says, yes, I'm okay with you talking to my kid. They have to connect first with a lawyer. And that makes proactive policing nearly impossible. We are purposefully, and this is done again by Democrats because they want you to think that police are the danger. They want you to think, especially young kids, particularly black or brown, as they say, youth are supposed to always feel unsafe around cops because cops are out there trying to kill people, blah, 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 blah. Well, what ends up happening is they know something is going on. An officer can actually intervene and make some sort of connection with these kids, and they're not able to. He gave, and I watched this whole hearing over the weekend. His portion, the chief's portion, was about 20, 30 minutes or so. And he was talking about this teenager that he saw with a gun in a park. Now, he could have gone up to this teenager and basically said, hey, what's going on here? This kid wasn't actively breaking the law beyond holding this weapon. He couldn't even do that and have that conversation and try to intervene with this kid before he continues to go down that path that will end up either killing him or killing someone else because of this law. And there seems to be no appetite whatsoever at the state legislative level to make any changes. None. We talked a little bit about this last week. You had a group of bipartisan lawmakers and police chiefs in Snohomish County that got together and they put together some 5 minutes worth of footage showing the impact of the Democrat policies. For example, when you basically ban vehicular pursuits with very, very few exceptions, well, guess what? Bad guys don't pull over. And video after video after video showed that in this clip, or body camera footage showed it in that video. Does the state want to make a change? Nope. Why? As Jesse Johnson, who is a state representative, Federal Way Democrat, retiring, his last term was this past term, thankfully, he can no longer do damage to us. But he says, oh, no, we're not going to change anything. I stand by the suite of bills that I helped pass that change policing because cops are dangerous. He believes cops are dangerous. Well, guess what? It's not the cops who are murdering people in this state. It's not the cops involved in drive-by shootings. It's not the cops that are involved in the smash and grabs. They're the ones who you call to try to help. Unfortunately, so many people are calling the police. Police arrive, see the bad guys drive off, and get mad at the cops for not pursuing. They can't pursue. The more people know about the laws that were changed and who changed them, the better for us across the state. Because then people will demand political change. And if they don't get that change, well, guess what? Hey, we're 6 weeks away from an election. You boot those people out of office. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Follow up.
So we're now hearing from the father of Trooper Dean Atkinson Jr. He was the one who in Walla Walla was shot in the face. Now, the alleged shooter, his name is Brandon O'Neill. He's still in jail on a $1 million bail. He's being held for suspicion of attempted aggravated murder, assault with a firearm, and attempting to elude with a firearm. Now, we learned last week that Trooper Atkinson drove himself to a local hospital having just been shot in the face. He left a trail of blood behind him. Now, he ends up getting shipped over to Harborview via helicopter, where he's now recovering. Somehow, thankfully, miraculously, it looks like he's going to be okay.
He still has a little road to go, but he's in a condition that, you know, there's nothing that would prevent him from performing his duties as a trooper in the future.
That is truly miraculous. That's his father speaking with Cairo 7 TV.
Drove to the hospital, exited his car, walked up to the ER door. It's a secure facility, kind of like this, and banged on the door. His handprints and bloody blood was on the glass door of the ER, and walked in. There was a blood trail from his car to the door. He'd protected himself with his hand when he got shot, and that's what caused the...
He's only 27 years old. He's been doing this for 5 years. And I want you to think about that for a moment. 5 years, about half of which was defined by folks on the left screaming ACAB, telling you that cops are the ones who are dangerous. They're talking about this trooper. They're talking about every single man and woman who puts on that uniform every single day, knowing it's possible they might not return home, because they're doing so to protect the community, only to be smeared by people like State Representative Jesse Johnson and other activists in the community that will tell you, whenever they can, the evils of policing. This is not an evil person. This is a guy who was shot in the face in service of his community.
I might get a little choked up. So I asked Dean this morning if he would be okay with me sharing his condition and his status, so that people back in Walla Walla could have peace.
And he is able to communicate with you.
And by the way, it's never a Cairo 7 TV story unless Deborah Horn shoehorns her own voice into absolutely every package she does. Otherwise, I love her.
He'll shake his head no, nod his head yes, or he'll give a thumbs up. He pumped his fist.
Now, this is a guy who's got a tattoo that's of particular meaning to him. And actually, I know a lot of people who either have this as a tattoo or a wristband.
It says, always come home, with a thin blue line. That's why he made it to the hospital.
because of that.
Because his determination.
So obviously our prayers continue to be with him and his family. But again, I want you to think about him. I want you to think about the officers who were shot and killed, like Dan Rocha over in Everett. These are the people who serve our community only to be demonized every single day. And I know that there are more of us than there are the people demonizing cops, but boy, are they louder than us. Why is that? And are you okay with that? Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Everything is racist.
Yeah, everything is racist, and a lot of people make a lot of money off of claiming everything is racist. For example, there are two black women who hold dinners specifically for white women where they are paid a ton of money to call those white women racist, shame them into submission, call them out, use them as an example of white supremacy culture, blah, 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 blah. It is disturbing. And frankly, every single woman who signs up for these stupid parties called race to dinner, anyone who races to that dinner, you deserve everything that you get. You deserve everything that you get. Now, the best that can come out of these kinds of scenarios is that someone comes out and says, you know what? This is truly ridiculous. I'm out. I was with you until this dumb dinner. And then I realized how absolutely insane you guys are. I am out. Can I have my money back? No. Now, one of these dinners was recorded for a documentary on the CBC, that's Canadian Broadcasting Company. And it's, I love the title. It's Deconstructing Karen. That's a great title for a documentary.
That's pretty solid. That's pretty solid work from the Canadians.
I truly love that. So a whole bunch of Karens get together and they get called racist. And I will say, you get to see some of them push back at the two co-founders of Race to Dinner. Their names are Regina Jackson and Sarah Rao. And she spells Sarah S-A-I-R-A, which is so, that's white supremacy in action. That's white supremacy. So they're disgusting racists. There's no doubt about it. These two people are racist. They don't mean well. Sometimes I like to give the benefit of the doubt to some folks, not these people. This is not well-intentioned. They prey on white women who think that they're being woke and evolved on racial issues enough to spend $2,500 to go to one of these dinners. So I thought we would play a clip from it.
I think news, we could all agree, makes things worse than when we were younger in our age, right?
No, that's not true. How does the news make things worse?
Because when I was younger, the things that were shown were not shown when I was younger.
But I feel like it's more rampant now. People have a free pass to just go and be their white supremacist self.
Imagine saying that out loud. They're just being their white supremacist self. Oh, okay. Thanks, Karen.
Display, because there's a free pass for it, in my opinion. I mean, given our current political climate, right, and the leader of our country.
Everyone's giving her a little bit of a look, and now you can tell things are going to start
to turn. When I was in Charleston, South Carolina last summer,
And this, by the way, is Sarah, S-A-I-R-A.
To my left, and the guy turned around and looked at me, and he said, lady, he goes, I hate to have to say this to you, but if I get pulled over, you're just another black woman, and he's black, and he said, put your hands up, do as they say, do not make any trouble. Yeah.
That didn't happen, by the way, just FYI. Everything she just said is a total lie. And if it did happen, her response would be, I'm okay with you not wishing that you had to put me in this position, but I love it because I'm going to exploit the ever-loving heck out of it. And I'm going to use this as an example to make money off of it.
I actually told you that.
Yeah, of course. Oh, dear God. Of course.
To protect her.
To protect him and to protect me.
Where were you?
That's the life he lives. And that's his reality.
But that's
insane.
That's his reality, whether it's insane or not.
No, I'm not saying he's insane. I'm saying
I get it. But what we're saying.
This is Regina Jackson, the other co-founder.
This is America.
This is America, she says. She pretends as she's seated at a table with wealthy white women making $2,500 a head to be filmed, by the way, and then broadcast on TV. This is America, she wants you to believe. That you cannot drive as a black person or a black woman in a Lyft or otherwise in this state. This is America. It's not actually America. There's no doubt at some point that happened more often than not, or more often than we're comfortable admitting. There's no doubt about that. Racism exists and existed. But to pretend that that is an example of America is so outrageous. And that's when some of the women in the group of women being called racist started to push back.
I want to ask also to stop acting shocked. So part of white feminism is acting so surprised when we tell you.
But it is. Why are you telling us not to act the way that we act if it is surprising?
Because
to me, that is surprising.
That upholds white supremacy.
Hey, dummy. You don't know what white supremacy is. There has never been such a dramatic shift in what a word means and what a word meant and how it made people feel than white supremacy. Now everything is white supremacy. You are a white supremacist if you happen to disagree with her on one point. If you say you are shocked that this happened, that is white supremacy. If everything is white supremacy, then nothing is white supremacy. And yet that seems to be lost on them. Because how dare anyone act shocked at something? I'm shocked because I know you're lying. I'm shocked that people are dumb enough to believe you. But someone saying, wow, I cannot believe that happened. Oh, how dare you have that reaction? That's white supremacy.
So what I'm saying, I'm asking all of you that when we express to you, and I'm not just talking about Regina and I, because when this dinner is over, like this is a blip, right? You go back into the world. And when people of color trust you enough to tell you their story, believe us without expressing shock.
No, that's not how things work. Sorry. You know how a lot of people believe the Duke volleyball player and how she was the victim of a torrent of hate coming from the crowd over at a BYU game? Except weirdly, literally no one could prove that it happened. And in a crowd filled with college students, no one seemed to get any of that on video. None of it. Happened multiple times, and the person that apparently was the one who did it, they came back and said, actually, it wasn't that person. We're supposed to just believe people. That's not how it works, unfortunately. That's not how it works. Jussie Smollett may like that reality, where we just believe everybody, but that's not how it works, especially in a world in which you very clearly are exaggerating things for personal gain.
Because when you express shock, it pushes you away from the blame.
Oh, so they're to blame, the white ladies you just met. Who just gave you $2,500. Oh, okay.
That makes me very angry because I don't look at that.
What? I was born in 1950. You know what I...
You're old. She's old, right? That's kind of old.
I expect of white women not a damn thing.
Except $2,500. I bet you double check to make sure that the check cashed. Just throwing that out there.
Nothing. I expect nothing of you because you have never given me anything.
Except $2,500 for me to call you a virulent racist for an hour and a half while eating dry chicken.
I can't trust you, okay?
But how can we come together when you say something like, I will never trust a white woman? If we had a really heart-to-heart talk, you said you would never trust me?
Well, I would have to see.
But you know, out of all your years in life, mm-hmm. you've never trusted a white woman.
Well, let me put it this way. The ones I have trusted have come back. To disappoint me.
I'm sure that wasn't a self-fulfilling prophecy, by the way.
Yeah, that's sad. Yeah.
It's interesting to me.
Uh-oh, Sarah.
That Marnie, that you're when Regina's talking about her feelings and how she doesn't trust white women, instead of saying, "My God, well, how can like what? Why? Like what? What about me?" That's what you said. Would you trust me? What if we had a heart-to-heart conversation? Why are your feelings so hurt?
Because you're literally saying you don't trust her on the basis of her skin color. That's why. And you don't need to pay me $2,500 to lay that truth on you. When someone comes out there and says, I do not trust people on the basis of their skin color and their skin color alone, that's what we used to call racist. But because you're saying it, we're not supposed to because you are a person of color with experiences. Yeah, well, there are a lot of people who have lots of experiences. Your experience is no more worthy than anyone else's. That you are shocked, let's just say, is an example of white supremacy. Oh, no, because the woman is Marnie. Marnie is her name. She's white, so.
Both of you, though, has been about... It's like a hate against us. Like, I feel like it's like...
It's been very aggressive.
That really, like, hurts me that somebody would not...
But why are your feelings more important than the reality of the violence of our lives?
The violence. Words are violence. Silence is also violence. Actual violence like burning down cities in the name of BLM. Not quite violence, but everything else. It's all violence. Why are your feelings hurt? How dare you? I feel like it's a normal reaction when someone tells you that they do not trust you on the basis of your skin color. I think it's a normal reaction to say, my feelings are hurt or I'm disgusted. But the thing is, And I'm glad this was actually filmed because it shows you just how insane some of these folks on the left are on issues of racial identity and racism. I'm glad it was filmed, and I'm glad that she had that reaction. Because the truth is, there is some truth in what racist Sarah said, which is, why are you having these feelings? You know what? She's right to have that to ask that question. Marnie should not feel truly bad about this situation, because these are people who get paid to tell you that you're racist. These are people who get paid to pretend that their lives are ruined because of white supremacy in this country. Do not give people like that power. Power to shame you, power to change how you view the world, how you view yourself. Don't give power to people like this who act out in bad faith. There are instances in which you'll have conversations with people whom you did, in fact, slight. Maybe it was a racist slight or a sexist slight or a homophobic slight. Didn't do it on purpose, but maybe that's what happened. Those are the people who have honest conversations with you about something that you did, not based on your skin color or your gender or your religion or whatever, just have a one-on-one conversation with you. Those are the ones who you should care about how you feel as a result of those conversations. Who cares what Regina and Sarah, S-A-I-R-A, care about you? Ugh. I want to play the whole 56-minute clip, but we won't.
Did you spend the whole weekend binge-watching Canadian reality TV, Jason?
I did watch this one, and this one was... I hate watch this. You know how sometimes liberals hate listen to this show?
Oh, yeah.
I hate watch the heck out of that documentary. It's available on YouTube if you want to check it out. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Today was probably the wrong day to have visitors in the building to sit in on the show, because, oh my gosh, that was all heavy.
Yeah, we went from, yeah, some very serious stuff to Canadian reality
TV. I hope they're not crazy liberals, because I'm sorry. I wasn't talking about you if it applies. I'm kidding. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. Still to come on the show, we'll take you through a funny policy if you're going to take the Amtrak from Seattle to British Columbia. The Canadians have an interesting policy that only applies once you cross the border. We're going to get into that and so much more. But first, I thought it was rather interesting or noteworthy, I guess, that the Seattle Times decided to just smear Tiffany Smiley. Now, we knew that Tiffany Smiley, the Republican candidate for Senate from here in Washington State, we knew she was going to get smeared. There's no doubt about that. But I did not expect this kind of smear to come so early. It's not even October, man. But the reason behind a smear in the Seattle Times this weekend against Tiffany Smiley, the reason is that she's closing in on Patty Murray. It's causing so much consternation that they've decided to go in a little bit early. This case coming from David Gutman, who's a reporter who I actually think is pretty good, but he's a partisan. And he wrote an editorial that is being presented as a news story. It's not. It is an editorial. And it frames the campaign message from Tiffany Smiley as being focused on what Gutman and some Democrats want to pretend is a misleading criticism of Seattle. And in the title, as well as in the article, Gutman calls Smiley's focus on Seattle as, quote, an old GOP tactic. And of course, the smear ends up getting picked up by Democrats, politicians, party leaders, the folks on Twitter, and they just go on to attack her. And frankly, that was the intent of this article, to give ammunition to folks. Because Smiley's running this campaign, or at least one of the ads she's running, is focused on the crime crisis in Seattle. The one that folks on the left want to pretend doesn't actually exist. And in this spot, she points to a Starbucks that is closed because of crime.
These doors are closed because it's too dangerous to ask employees to work here anymore. Think about that. For decades, Patty Murray has spearheaded reckless policies that lead to shortages, inflation, and so much crime that you can't even get a cup of coffee from the hometown shop on Capitol Hill, even if you could still afford it. 30 years in the Senate, and this is what she has to show for it? If she won't do the job, I will. I'm Tiffany Smiley, and I approve this message.
Now, apparently that was a controversial message because David Gutman over at the Times says, well, there are other Starbucks near this closed one. I mean, there are some in grocery stores. He doesn't mention, of course, the crime plaguing that neighborhood and plaguing one of the Starbucks grocery store locations, which is out of control. Anyone who's even half familiar would say that. But this idea that, oh, things aren't so bad, despite the fact that we are currently experiencing record high homicide rates, this is the second year in a row where we're hitting historic homicides. But Gutman was able to find some snide commentary by a partisan Democrat communications consultant. He happens to follow her on Twitter, Alex Corin. And in this tweet, she implies that Seattle is safe, which allows Gutman to highlight so he could lie about the scenario without just flatly saying what she said in this tweet. She wrote, hey, Tiffany, Analog Coffee is a block away, and there's some awesome bars in the area that I walk to alone at night as an out trans woman. Would love to show you around if you actually want to come to Seattle instead of standing in front of a green screen. Now, funny enough, Gutman chose not to note that that woman who spoke, who tweeted, is a former campaign manager for Lorena Gonzalez, former Seattle City Council president who ran for mayor. Didn't mention that, which seems to be a little bit of a conflict, right? I mean, it kind of seems like, of course, she's not going to bemoan what's happening in Seattle because her candidate was responsible for what happened. Somehow, David Gutman couldn't find a single person to quote who shares concern about crime like Tiffany Smiley. They must not exist. I mean, after all, it's an old GOP tactic to lie about Seattle. Now, I saw some people pick this up. It was funny. State Senator Joe Wynn, he's a Democrat from White Center. I think he lives in West Seattle. That's part of the district. He tweeted out this editorial, and he criticized Smiley for talking bleep. He actually said it. About the largest city and economic engine in this state. He then downplays, of course, the violent crime crisis by saying, quote, we might not be perfect. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. That's one way to put it, I guess. But again, he's not going to highlight the problems because he is partly to blame. He is one of the Democrats that supports decriminalizing everything and dismantling police departments and the criminal justice system. But let's be honest about what this editorial actually is. This is an example of a left-wing media tactic. Let's just call it what it is. Criticizing Republican threats in news pieces, or ones that at least you're pretending are news pieces. They frame this intentionally. Patty Murray is a 30-year veteran of the Senate. You would think that Gutman and maybe anyone else at the Times could find something she's done to analyze in a critical way. Nope, no such luck. Seattle Times isn't interested. David Gutman's not interested. He did, by the way, have time to write an article criticizing Joe Kent, who's running in Washington 6th Congressional District. That's a city and a region that Seattle Times does not cover pretty much ever. But for this story, they decided to go ahead and attack him. Now, I would argue still at the end of this, even though this is very clearly a smear, this is good news for Smiley. How could it be good news? She's being attacked. The timing suggests that Democrats are concerned about her momentum. That's why they're doing it so early. They're concerned. They must be looking at some polls and getting access to poll numbers that maybe we don't have access to. And I bet a lot of it is internals from the side of Patty Murray, suggesting that she's not doing as well as she should. You look at the last two major polls that were released. One is the Trafalgar poll. The other one is PPP. And that, by the way, leans left. It shows Patty Murray just 6 points ahead, the average between the two, 6 points ahead. Now, given the fact that Smiley, I think, underperformed in the primaries, I think a lot of folks didn't realize the anger of overturning Roe v. Wade was going to get folks out to vote the way that they did, Democrats the way that they did. But you're up against a first-time candidate. Patty Murray, you've got 30 years experience, a lot of money. A lot of money that you're spending. Shouldn't you be leading by a whole bunch more than 6 points? Shouldn't you be just dominating this? This shouldn't be a concern for you at all. Unless the momentum was picking up for Tiffany Smiley. And the fact of the matter is Murray and Gutman and just Seattle Times folks, they realize that Tiffany Smiley is charismatic, that she actually offers solutions to problems that Murray is in part responsible for. And that freaks them out. They know the more people who see Smiley, who hear her story, who hear her solutions, the more likely they will be to vote for her. And so you got to get ahead of that. And that's exactly what the Seattle Times is doing on behalf of Democrats. Now, I still don't think it's going to be easy for Tiffany Smiley to win. I don't think that. I think it's going to be tough, despite the fact that Patty Murray is incredibly ineffective. But the fact of the matter is, we are, as a state, unapologetically blue. And Seattle voters, they love to play martyr. They love it. And they are pretending right now that democracy is on the line, that abortion rights are on the line in this state, even though they're obviously not. And so they're pretending to be these freedom fighters. They are pretending to be saving democracy. And because they love that martyrdom that they can claim, they are feeling more energized this time around than otherwise they would be. And that does not help Tiffany Smiley. Tiffany Smiley needs about 40% of the King County vote in order to win. She has to overperform everywhere else, or perform as Republicans typically do everywhere else, but you absolutely need 40% unless you're just dominating in Eastern Washington. Unless you're just dominating in Snohomish and Pierce. It's doable, but it's not going to be easy. But it's doable, should you actually go out and vote, which is why we remind you all the time of how important it is to not just assume that it's a lost cause. Everyone who thinks that and chooses not to vote, you make it a lost cause. But right now, all of the issues are on the side of Republicans except abortion. But the issues that impact everyone every single day, crime, drugs, homelessness, inflation, gas prices, food prices, all that, that's on our side. It's on our side. And you're hearing Jen Psaki, for example, on her NBC show that no one watches because it's on the digital side. She came out last week, I think it was on Friday, basically saying, if this election is seen as a referendum on the Democrats or on Biden, they're going to lose. And so you start to see folks like Gavin Newsom, who over the weekend spoke at, I think it's the Texas Policy Committee or one of those three-day functions. He was out there saying, oh, they're just lying about us. But he's ultimately, what he's doing here is sounding the alarms.
These guys are ruthless on the other side. Ruthless on the other side. That primetime lineup on Fox, they're ruthless.
Oh, they're ruthless.
They dominate the most important thing in American politics today, and that's the narrative. Facts become secondary to narrative. They dominate with illusion, and we are getting crushed.
Delusion. There's no crime crisis. There's no homelessness crisis. There's no energy crisis. There's no inflation crisis. There's no border crisis. It's all delusion. Now, of course, he knows that that's not true, but he wants to push that lie because he thinks it might be able to swing some momentum in his side. But here's the deal. The reason why they're doing as poorly as they're doing right now in the polls is because they are pushing something they know, or they should know, that people realize is a lie. You tell me if you live in Seattle or Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, you tell me that it is a delusion to complain about crime. Tell me that in Philadelphia or Chicago. Tell me that it's a delusion. There's no crime crisis. Tell me if you live in El Paso that there's no border crisis. Right. 1-800-465-877. Don't forget, we're going to talk about this at the Freedom Series. Tickets only $12. Buy them before they sell out. A lot of big guests on tap. You'll find out who they are when you're in the audience at Carco Theater. Tickets, ktth.com. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. It's all about representation. Folks on the left who are identity-focused love representation, except when they don't. Because sometimes when you represent some group, it's not in a positive light. Not the group, but the person who's supposed to be the representation. And the same folks who demanded LGBTQAI++ and all the other stuff that I don't even understand what it is. All the people who demanded representation of that group are now mad that they got it in a new series on Netflix called The Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. And I watched a few episodes of it. I watched three episodes. It's all right. It's not that good.
It looked really messed up based
off
of...
It's disturbing.
It looked really messed
up.
Yeah,
it is. It turns out that Jeffrey Dahmer is a bad dude, and it is going to freak you out if you watch it. So Jeffrey Dahmer was gay, and that was a part of his identity that he struggled with at times, but also used to find his victim. So you can't do a Jeffrey Dahmer story without highlighting the fact that he's gay. It played a role in this. But the quote-unquote controversy came because Netflix, you know how on Netflix, on their app or their website, whatever you do to stream, they have different categories for the movie or the TV show or whatever. And so those for this one, suspense, crime, cannibalism. And then at the end, they had LGBT theme or something like that. And folks were mad because they're like, this is not an LGBT show. Yeah, it is. I mean, it is the way that they cover it. But people pretended that this was somehow offensive, and they jumped on Twitter, and the Daily Mail found a whole bunch of tweets from nobodies, and one nobody said, this is not the representation we're looking for. Here's the deal. You don't get to choose how any one or group or anything is represented. You can't demand representation and then all of a sudden say, well, not this kind. That's not wanting representation. That's wanting propaganda, right? That is a form of what you're saying. You're looking for them to serve as your publicist for an identity group. And to me, that seems wrong, but to them, it seems normal. Someone said, and I did find this one funny. Guys, my favorite LGBTQ series on Netflix is RuPaul's Drag Race, Dahmer, and Queer Eye. That's a good one. That was funny. Here's I'm looking at just some of these tweets, and they're just so silly, and they're not coming from a place that makes any sense. The whole idea of quote unquote representation is that the world of a film or a movie or just the media, books, whatever, is a reflection of life. And so, for example, when you see Friends and there's no black people at all, well, that's not an honest representation of New York. And they were trying to be, this is our New York coffee shop. So it's odd that you don't have any black people, like, period. So when you say representation, to me at least, I say, okay, you just want people that you would normally see living in whatever city that movie or TV show or book happens to take place in. That it's not necessarily there as tokens. The unfortunate reality, however, is usually media tokenize people, right? And we saw that early on, like with Will and Grace, how they just use a stereotype and then was like, oh, now we're going to have our token gay character. People still do that, and that's what's wrong. Having someone just be their quote-unquote authentic selves, which is language that the left uses, why would that preclude Jeffrey Dahmer, especially when it was such a big deal? And by the way, here's the other thing, especially because the story is all based on controversies over Twitter. If you had Jeffrey Dahmer on and he wasn't gay and they whitewashed that entire thing, or straightwashed, I guess, wouldn't then the complaint be, what about our representation? Sure, we don't like that he's gay, but that was an important... Why would you not include that? You're going to lose either way. Now, there is a little bit of a controversy around this show that I do understand. People who were the victims or people who they knew who were victims of Jeffrey Dahmer, they're like, I don't want to be represented. I do not want that. The cousin of one of the victims, whose name is Errol Lindsay, Eric Perry went on Twitter to call this out. And he said, I'm not telling anyone what to watch, which I mean, he kind of is. I'm not telling anyone what to watch. I know true crime media is huge right now. But if you're actually curious about the victims, my family are pissed about this show. Recreating my cousin having an emotional breakdown in court in the face of a man who tortured and murdered her brother is wild. He noted that they didn't have to be asked because all of this is public record. So you're not required to notify the families. You're not required to get any thumbs up. A lot of times, producers will still reach out. They don't want bad publicity as a result of not doing it. It seems to be the right move, especially because in this show, obviously it's told through the perspective of Jeffrey Dahmer to a point, but a lot of it is told through the perspective of the victims. And so it is going to be, I imagine, traumatizing for some families, especially like in this case, that dude said, we didn't even know this was happening. No one told us. We just found out by seeing it on Netflix. And he pointed out this, or he posted two videos. One was a scene from the show highlighted next to the real life, quote unquote, scene that unfolded in court with the sister of the victim.
Rita Isabel, and I'm the oldest sister of Errol Lindsay. Whatever your name is, Satan, I'm mad. This is how you act when you are out of control. Now, I don't want to ever have to see my mother go through this again. Never, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I hate you. I hate you. This is out of control. Don't with me, Jeffrey. I'll kill you. Look at me. Look at me.
Now, this is almost word for word and shot by shot from real life. And I understand why the family members would feel uncomfortable and traumatized by this. Doesn't mean you don't do the show. But to me, it does seem odd that they didn't ask. Not ask for permission, but maybe just come out and say, hey, FYI, we're doing this and we wanted you to be aware. We don't mean any ill intent here, but your family is a part of the focus of our show. That part is weird to me.
That's common courtesy, it seems like. But
that just seems like the right thing to do, but they don't have to legally do it. This one, that controversy, at least I understand. Has anyone even seen the show? You didn't watch a single episode or just a trailer?
No.
Do you want to see it now that you saw the trailer?
No, even less. Even less.
It's graphic.
I'd watch Canadian reality TV first.
Yeah, I'm with you. Deconstructing Karen for the win.